Here is the transcript for an informative and engaging podcast episode discussing the research paper Bridging AIC and BIC, a new criterion for autoregression. Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we dive deep into the latest scientific discoveries. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host Jen.
Hi everyone. In this episode, we are going to explore a fascinating new paper that proposes a novel approach to selecting the order of autoregressive models. The paper is titled Bridging AIC and BIC, a new criterion for autoregression, and it's authored by Ji Ding, Wahid Taruk, and Yuong Yang.
Autoregressive models are incredibly useful in fields like finance, economics, and engineering for analyzing time series data and making predictions. But determining the optimal order, or complexity, of these models has long been a challenge. The authors of this paper introduce a new model selection criterion that aims to combine the strengths of two classic approaches, the Akaika Information Criterion, AIC, and the Bayesian Information Criterion, BIC.
That's right. The AIC and BIC are two of the most widely used techniques for choosing the best autoregressive model order. But they have some important differences. The AIC is known to be efficient, meaning it can identify the model that provides the best predictive performance, even if the true order is infinitely high. However, the BIC is consistent, which means it will converge to the true underlying model order as the sample size increases.
The author's new criterion, which they call the Parametricness Index Criterion or PIC, aims to bridge this gap between efficiency and consistency. Let's dive into how it works.
Okay. So the key idea behind PIC is that it adaptively switches between the AIC and BIC approaches depending on the characteristics of the data at hand. When the true order is finite, PIC behaves similarly to the consistent BIC. But when the true order is infinite or very high relative to the sample size, PIC acts more like the efficient AIC.
That's really clever. The authors show that PIC retains the desirable properties of both the AIC and BIC. It's consistent when the true model has a finite order, but it's also efficient when the true order is high. This makes PIC a more flexible and robust approach compared to using AIC or BIC alone.
To illustrate how PIC works, let's walk through a hypothetical example. Imagine we have a time series that was generated by an autoregressive process of order 5. If we fit a series of candidate models with orders ranging from 0 to 10, the AIC would likely select a model with a higher order than 5, since it prioritizes predictive performance over parsimony. In contrast, the BIC would probably choose an order of 5, since it is designed to consistently identify the true underlying order.
But with PIC, the story would be a bit different. Early on, when the sample size is small, PIC would behave more like the BIC and choose the order 5 model, since the data supports a finite true order. However, as we gather more observations over time, PIC would gradually shift towards the AIC's efficient behavior, potentially selecting a higher order model if it leads to better predictions.
Exactly. The authors show that PIC has this adaptive property. It starts off consistent, then becomes more efficient as the sample size grows. This is a really elegant solution that combines the strengths of these two classic model selection criteria.
The numerical examples in the paper are quite compelling. They demonstrate how PIC outperforms both the AIC and BIC on a variety of real-world time series data, including stock returns, atmospheric CO2 levels, and speech signals. PIC seems to strike the right balance between parsimony and predictive power.
Absolutely. One of the key takeaways is that PIC is more flexible and robust than the AIC and BIC in practical situations where you don't have any prior information about the true model order. By adaptively switching between consistency and efficiency, PIC can handle a wide range of scenarios.
This is a really fascinating piece of work. The authors have made an important contribution to the field of time series analysis by introducing this new model selection criterion that bridges the gap between the AIC and BIC. It's a great example of how rigorous mathematical modeling can lead to practical tools that can significantly improve our ability to extract insights from complex data.
I couldn't agree more. This paper is a must-read for anyone working with autoregressive models, whether in finance, engineering, climate science, or beyond. The PIC criterion seems like it could have a real impact in making model selection more accurate and reliable across many different applications.
Definitely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into bridging AIC and BIC, a new criterion for autoregression. Be sure to check out the full paper if you want to learn more about this exciting new development.
Absolutely. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of science with us.
Here is a quirky, retro-futuristic commercial for a company that emerged from the research featured in the podcast episode. Are you tired of your outdated autoregressive models leaving you in the past?
Introducing the future of time series forecasting, PIC Time, brought to you by Adaptive Analytics, Inc., Jaunty, synth-heavy music plays, announcer. In a world of stagnant model selection, one company dared to bridge the gap between efficiency and consistency. PIC Time, the revolutionary adaptive algorithm that knows when to be archaic or Bayesian, scenes of futuristic-looking graphs and charts flash on the screen, announcer. PIC Time, the model that evolves as your data grows. No more settling for rigid AIC or outdated BIC.
PIC Time, the perfect blend of predictive power and parsimonious perfection.
Don't be a slave to your time series. Upgrade to PIC Time and let the future of model selection work for you. Announcer. PIC Time by Adaptive Analytics. The future is now. Dramatic chord as the Adaptive Analytics logo appears.
Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we investigate cutting-edge research with depth and intrigue. I'm Tom, here with my co-host Jen.
And we're thrilled to dive into an exciting new paper today, a martingale analysis of first passage times of time-dependent Wiener diffusion models. This research explores how we can use advanced mathematical techniques to model and predict the decision-making process.
That's right, Jen. This paper takes a fresh look at an important class of models that have been used extensively in psychology, neuroscience, and beyond to describe how people and animals make decisions.
The key idea is that decision-making can be thought of as the accumulation of noisy evidence over time, until a threshold is reached and a choice is made. But most previous models have assumed that the parameters governing this process, like the rate of evidence accumulation, remain fixed throughout the decision.
The authors of this paper wanted to examine what happens when those parameters are allowed to change over time. And they used some powerful mathematical tools from the theory of martingales to derive some really elegant and insightful results.
Martingales might sound like a fancy math concept, but the basic idea is pretty intuitive. Essentially, a martingale is a random process where the expected value of the next step is equal to the current value. So it behaves like a fair game. No matter when you stop, you haven't gained or lost on average.
And the authors show how this martingale property can be leveraged to analyze the first passage time. That is, the random time it takes for the noisy evidence accumulation to hit one of the decision thresholds. They derive closed-form expressions for key quantities like the probability of hitting the upper versus lower threshold, and the expected decision time.
What's really clever is how they break down this time-varying decision process into multiple stages, where the parameters can change between stages but remain constant within each stage. This allows them to recursively compute the relevant statistics, building up from the properties of each individual stage.
Exactly. So, for example, they can calculate the distribution of the initial evidence at the start of each stage, since that depends on whether a decision was made in the previous stage. And then use that to compute the first passage time density and other key metrics.
The results they derive are quite general, applicable to Wiener diffusion processes with an arbitrary number of stages, time-varying thresholds, and even more complex Onstein-Uhlenbeck dynamics. This flexibility means the framework can be used to model a wide range of real-world decision-making scenarios.
And the authors don't just stop at the theory. They also provide detailed numerical examples to illustrate how these analytical results can be put into practice. Things like modeling attention shifts during a decision, or optimizing the speed-accuracy trade-off to maximize reward rate.
It's really a tour de force of applied mathematics. The authors take a sophisticated theoretical machinery and leverage it to gain deep insights into psychological and neural processes. I was particularly impressed by how they were able to derive closed-form expressions for quantities that previously required numerical integration.
Absolutely. This is the kind of work that can have a big impact, bridging the gap between abstract mathematical models and real-world behavioral data. By providing these analytical tools, the authors are empowering researchers to explore more complex, dynamic decision-making scenarios.
And I think one of the coolest things is how this martingale approach provides an alternative perspective on some classical results in decision-making theory. The authors are able to re-derive well-known formulas for things like mean decision times and choice probabilities, but from a fresh mathematical angle.
Yeah, it's a great demonstration of how powerful mathematical tools can shed new light on long-standing problems. Rather than just reproducing previous findings, the authors are using martingales to gain additional insights and open up new avenues for exploration.
Exactly. And I think that's a big part of what makes this work so compelling, the way it combines technical sophistication with real-world relevance. The authors aren't just doing math for math's sake, but using it to advance our understanding of how the mind and brain make decisions.
Agreed. This is the kind of interdisciplinary research that I find truly fascinating. It takes deep expertise in stochastic processes and martingale theory, and then applies that expertise to tackle important questions in cognitive science and neuroscience.
Definitely. And I think what's especially impressive is how accessible and intuitive the authors make these complex mathematical concepts. They do an excellent job of providing clear explanations and relatable examples to guide the reader through the technical details.
Absolutely. They really take the time to build that intuition, walking us through the key ideas step by step. It reminds me of the way a great teacher can make even the most daunting subject matter feel approachable.
Definitely. And I think that's so important, especially for a topic like this that might seem intimidating to a general audience. The authors recognized that and made a real effort to make the material engaging and easy to follow.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I'm really impressed by the breadth of this work. The authors don't just focus on one specific model or application, but explore the generalizability of their approach. Things like extending it to Ornstein-Uhlenbeck processes, and showing how it can be used to optimize decision-making parameters.
Yes, that versatility is really striking. It speaks to the deep conceptual understanding the authors have of the underlying mathematics. They're not just manipulating formulas, but really grasping the fundamental principles that allow this framework to be applied so broadly.
Exactly. And I think that's a big part of what makes this research so valuable. It's not just a narrow methodological advance, but a whole new perspective that can inspire further theoretical developments and empirical investigations.
Definitely. This is the kind of work that has the potential to reshape how we think about decision-making models, and open up exciting new directions for the field. The authors have provided an incredibly powerful set of analytical tools, and I can't wait to see how other researchers build upon this foundation.
Absolutely. This is the kind of paradigm-shifting research that I find truly thrilling. It takes a foundational problem in cognitive science, applies advanced mathematical techniques, and emerges with novel insights that challenge our existing frameworks.
Well said, Tom. This paper is a prime example of how rigorous, interdisciplinary science can yield transformative results. The authors have made a major contribution, not just to our understanding of decision-making, but to the very way we approach modeling complex cognitive processes.
Couldn't agree more, Jen. This is the kind of work that really gets me excited about the future of this field. I can't wait to see what other groundbreaking discoveries emerge as more researchers adopt these martingale techniques.
Absolutely. This is the kind of podcast episode that I love to do, delving deep into a cutting-edge piece of research, unpacking its significance, and highlighting the brilliant minds behind it. It's a true pleasure to share this work with our listeners.
Well said, Jen. I think we've given our audience a thorough, engaging, and hopefully inspiring look into this remarkable paper. There's so much more we could discuss, but I believe we've provided a solid foundation for anyone interested in exploring this research further.
Agreed. This is the kind of work that really demonstrates the power of interdisciplinary collaboration and the relentless pursuit of scientific understanding. I'm grateful to the authors for sharing their insights, and to our listeners for joining us on this journey of discovery.
Absolutely. Well said, Jen. This has been a wonderful exploration of a truly fascinating piece of research. On behalf of Jen and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.
In a loud, energetic voice, hey folks, are you tired of making boring old decisions? Well, do we have the product for you? Introducing Duke the Martingale Decision Maker 3000.
Asterisk in an overly enthusiastic tone, that's right. The Martingale Decision Maker 3000 uses advanced mathematical principles to take the guesswork out of your life. No more agonizing over choices, just let our state-of-the-art algorithms do the work for you.
Speaking rapidly using cutting-edge Wiener diffusion models and Martingale analysis, the Martingale Decision Maker 3000 can optimize your decision-making parameters to maximize rewards and minimize regret. Feeling indecisive about what to eat for lunch? Just consult your Martingale Decision Maker 3000.
Asterisk in a hushed, serious tone, can't decide between red or blue socks? Let the Martingale Decision Maker 3000 take the burden off your shoulders. Plagued by attention shifts during important decisions? Our advanced time-varying threshold models have got you covered.
Shouting, but wait, there's more. Order now and we'll throw in a free Ornstein-Uhlenbeck module. Perfect for modeling more complex decision dynamics. That's a $99 value. Yours absolutely free.
Asterisk in a sultry voice, so why settle for a life of agonizing choices and missed opportunities? Upgrade to the Martingale Decision Maker 3000 and start living your best life. Call 1-800-MATH-MAGIC to order yours today.
Yelling operators are standing by. Quantities are limited, so call now. Martingale Decision Maker 3000, because you've got better things to do than think. Here is the complete podcast episode transcript. Introduction. Welcome to Quantum Leap, the podcast that delves into cutting-edge scientific discoveries with infectious curiosity and depth. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. In each episode, we investigate a groundbreaking research paper, illuminating its insights through expert analysis and compelling storytelling.
Today, we're discussing a fascinating paper that tackles a long-standing challenge in financial mathematics, developing new analytical solutions for a modified version of the famous Black-Scholes equation. The title of the paper is New Analytical Solutions of a Modified Black-Scholes Equation with the European Put Option, and it was authored by Juan Ospina from EAFIT University in Colombia.
This research is particularly important because the standard Black-Scholes equation, while a landmark achievement, has struggled to accurately predict the prices of certain financial options in the real world. Ospina and his team have proposed a modified version of the equation that could lead to better forecasting, and they've found some remarkable new mathematical solutions to this updated model.
The key finding is that this modified Black-Scholes equation can be solved exactly in terms of special functions from mathematical physics, like Laguerre polynomials and Kummer functions. These analytical solutions provide a powerful new toolkit for pricing European put options, which are one of the most common types of financial derivatives.
But as we'll see, the solutions also reveal some intriguing nuances. In certain cases, the modified equation actually produces option prices that are lower than the standard Black-Scholes formula. This suggests the real-world dynamics of financial markets may be better captured by these new mathematical models. It's a fascinating intersection of high-level theory and practical applications.
So buckle up, because we're about to take a deep dive into the world of quantum econophysics and the search for more accurate option pricing. This is sure to be an eye-opening journey. Let's get started, body. Okay, Jen, let's start by breaking down the core ideas behind this research. Can you explain what the standard Black-Scholes equation is and why it's so important in finance?
Absolutely. The Black-Scholes equation is a landmark mathematical model that provides a framework for estimating the prices of various financial options, like put and call options on stocks. Developed in the early 1970s by economists Fisher Black, Myron Scholes, and Robert Merton, it revolutionized the field of derivatives pricing.
And how does it work exactly? What are the key inputs and outputs?
Well, the equation takes into account several crucial factors: the current price of the underlying asset, the volatility of that asset, the risk-free interest rate, and the time until the option expires. By plugging these parameters into the Black-Scholes equation, you can calculate the theoretical fair price of the option.
I see. So it's a way to put a quantitative value on something that can seem quite abstract and unpredictable. The future price movements of a stock or other financial instrument.
Exactly. The Black-Scholes equation provides a systematic, data-driven approach to pricing options, rather than relying on gut instinct or rule-of-thumb guesses. It revolutionized the field of derivatives trading and risk management.
That's really impressive. So what's the catch? Why did Ospina and his team feel the need to modify the original Black-Scholes equation?
Well, despite its groundbreaking impact, the standard Black-Scholes model has some limitations. In the real world of financial markets, there are often significant discrepancies between the theoretical option prices it produces and the actual observed market prices.
Oh, I see. So the model doesn't always match up with reality. What could be causing those gaps?
Researchers have identified a few potential factors. For one, the Black-Scholes equation makes some simplifying assumptions, like constant volatility and interest rates, that may not hold true in the dynamic, complex world of finance. There are also behavioral elements and market microstructure effects that the original model doesn't fully capture. Ospina and his team realized that to get closer to real-world option prices, they needed to modify the underlying equation. Their key insight was to introduce an extra term into the standard Black-Scholes PDE, which adds an extra layer of flexibility.
Fascinating. So what did this modified equation look like, and how did they go about solving it?
Okay, let's dive into the details. Ospina's modified Black-Scholes equation takes this form, show equation, 1, from the paper.
Whoa, that's a lot of derivatives and terms. It looks pretty complex. Can you break down what each part represents?
Sure. Let me walk through it step by step. The left-hand side is the standard Black-Scholes terms, the time derivative, the first derivative with respect to the asset price, and the second derivative. On the right-hand side, you've got the risk-free interest rate term, R, and then this new extra term involving a function phi, T, S. This phi function is what distinguishes Ospina's modified equation from the original Black-Scholes.
I see. And what's the significance of this phi term? What role does it play?
Great question. Ospina showed that by tuning the form of phi, you can actually capture different types of deviations from the standard Black-Scholes assumptions. There are two key cases he explores: the sub-Black-Scholes case, where phi takes a form that leads to option prices lower than the standard model, and the supra-Black-Scholes case, where phi makes the option prices higher.
Oh, I see the power of this modification now. It allows the model to flexibly adapt to different real-world dynamics, beyond the rigid constraints of the original Black-Scholes. Very clever.
Exactly. And the really exciting part is that Ospina was able to find exact analytical solutions for both the sub and supra Black-Scholes cases, when considering European put options specifically.
Wow, that's impressive. How did they manage to solve these modified equations analytically? That seems like a major challenge.
It is. Ospina leveraged some powerful mathematical tools from quantum mechanics and special functions theory. Specifically, he expressed the solutions in terms of Laguerre polynomials and Kummer functions.
Laguerre polynomials and Kummer functions, huh? That sounds pretty high level. Can you give us a sense of how those work and why they were useful here?
Sure. Let me try to explain it in more intuitive terms. Laguerre polynomials are a family of orthogonal polynomials that come up a lot in quantum mechanics, when solving equations related to the harmonic oscillator. And Kummer functions are a special type of hypergeometric function that have properties that allow them to be combined with the Laguerre polynomials to get exact solutions to differential equations.
Okay, that helps provide some context. So, Ospina basically reverse-engineered solutions from these mathematical tools that are commonly used in quantum physics, and adapted them to solve his modified Black-Scholes PDE.
Precisely. He was able to leverage the unique properties of Laguerre polynomials and Kummer functions to find closed-form analytical expressions for the prices of European put options under both the sub- and supra-Black-Scholes models.
That's really impressive. So how do these new solutions compare to the original Black-Scholes formula for put options?
That's a great question. Ospina did some numerical experiments to compare the results, and found some fascinating differences. In the sub-Black-Scholes case, the put option prices computed using Ospina's new solution were actually lower than the standard Black-Scholes prices.
Interesting. That suggests the modified model is capturing some downward pressure on option values that the original equation missed. What about the supra-Black-Scholes case?
For the supra-Black-Scholes model, Ospina found the opposite. The option prices were higher than the standard Black-Scholes formula. So in this case, the modified equation seems to be accounting for factors that drive up the value of puts relative to the classic model.
That makes a lot of sense. It really highlights the flexibility and nuance that this new approach brings compared to the rigid assumptions of the original Black-Scholes. This could have major implications for how we think about option pricing in the real world.
Absolutely. Ospina's work suggests that by incorporating more realistic dynamics through this modified equation, we may be able to get option prices that align much closer with actual market data. And the analytical solutions provide a powerful new toolkit that's grounded in rigorous mathematics.
That's really exciting. So what are the key takeaways from this research, in your view? Where do you see the most important implications or next steps, reflections?
Well, a few things stand out to me. First, I'm really impressed by Ospina's ability to bridge the gap between high-level mathematical physics and practical finance. Connecting tools like Laguerre polynomials and Kummer functions to option pricing models is such a clever and innovative approach.
Yeah, I agree. It really speaks to the power of cross-pollination between different fields. By drawing on techniques from quantum mechanics, Ospina was able to unlock new analytical solutions that the traditional Black-Scholes framework couldn't provide.
Exactly. And I think the nuanced results, the sub versus supra Black-Scholes cases, are fascinating. They suggest that the real dynamics of financial markets may not always align with the simplifying assumptions baked into the original model. Accounting for that added complexity through the modified equation could lead to much more accurate forecasting.
Definitely. This research highlights how important it is to continuously refine and improve our mathematical models, rather than just relying on the classics. The Black-Scholes equation has been a towering achievement, no doubt, but finance is a dynamic field that requires dynamic tools to keep up.
Absolutely. And I'm really curious to see where Ospina and others take this work next. Could these analytical solutions for European puts be extended to call options as well? Are there other ways to tweak the modified equation to capture even more nuanced market behaviors? There's so much potential here to advance the state of the art in option pricing.
Great points. I also wonder about the broader implications beyond just option valuation. Could these techniques shed light on systemic risk, market microstructure, or other key topics in financial economics? The connections to quantum physics are really intriguing and could open up all sorts of new avenues for research.
Absolutely. This is the kind of work that could have wide-ranging impacts, from informing trading strategies to influencing regulatory policy. Anytime you can improve the accuracy and flexibility of core financial models, it has the potential to reshape the entire ecosystem.
Well said. This has been a truly fascinating dive into Ospina's work. It's a great example of how scientific rigor, mathematical creativity, and real-world relevance can all come together in one compelling research project.
Definitely. I think listeners will come away from this episode with a much richer understanding of the complexities involved in option pricing, as well as an appreciation for the innovative approaches researchers are taking to tackle those challenges. It's an exciting intersection of theory and practice.
Absolutely. Well, that about wraps it up for today. Thanks so much for joining us, Jen. This was a really enlightening discussion.
My pleasure, Tom. I'm sure our listeners are as eager as I am to see what other cutting-edge discoveries we uncover in future episodes of Quantum Leap. Until next time, conclusion.
To summarize the key takeaways from Ospina's research, the standard Black-Scholes equation, while groundbreaking, has limitations in accurately pricing certain financial options in the real world. Ospina proposed a modified version of the Black-Scholes PDE that introduces an extra term to capture more realistic market dynamics. By tuning this extra term, Ospina was able to derive sub-Black-Scholes and super-Black-Scholes cases, leading to option prices lower or higher than the standard model, respectively. Remarkably, Ospina found exact analytical solutions to these modified equations using powerful mathematical tools from quantum mechanics, like Laguerre polynomials and Kummer functions. These new solutions offer a flexible, data-driven approach to option pricing that could significantly improve on the rigid assumptions of the original Black-Scholes framework. The implications of this work are vast. From informing trading strategies to influencing regulatory policy, Ospina's innovations at the intersection of finance, mathematics, and physics have the potential to reshape our understanding of derivatives markets. It's an exciting example of how cross-pollination between fields can unlock powerful new insights. We can't wait to see where this research leads next. Upbeat jingle plays. Are you tired of option pricing that just doesn't add up? Frustrated with financial models that can't keep pace with the real world?
Introducing Kummer Capital, the quantum finance consultants that'll have you pricing options like a Nobel laureate.
Using cutting-edge mathematical techniques from the bizarre realm of quantum physics, our team of eccentric number crunchers will transform your option pricing game.
Laguerre polynomials, Kummer functions, we speak the language of the esoteric. And we'll use that power to get you option values that actually align with the market.
Sub-Black-Scholes, Supra-Black-Scholes. We've got the analytical solutions to handle any market condition. Your portfolio will be printing money faster than Schrödinger's cat can collapse a wave function.
So what are you waiting for? Contact Kummer Capital today, and let us bring your option pricing into the quantum realm.
Kummer Capital. Where finance meets physics, and profits meet quantum. Jingle plays out. Here is a detailed podcast episode transcript about the research paper Transfer Pricing Manipulation, Tax Penalty Cost and the Impact of Foreign Profit Taxation. Intro music. Welcome to the Inquiring Minds podcast, where we dive deep into cutting-edge research and bring it to life through engaging stories and expert analysis. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that investigates the intricacies of transfer pricing manipulation and how it's impacted by tax policies. The paper is titled Transfer Pricing Manipulation, Tax Penalty Cost and the Impact of Foreign Profit Taxation, and it's authored by Alex Augusto Timbratke.
This is a really important topic, Jen. Multinational enterprises have been using transfer pricing as a way to shift profits from high-tax jurisdictions to low-tax ones, eroding the tax base of countries around the world. Governments have been trying to crack down on this practice, but it's a complex issue with a lot of moving parts.
Absolutely. This paper really gets to the heart of how companies make these transfer pricing decisions and what factors influence them. The researchers developed a model to show how things like tax enforcement, the arm's length principle, and different foreign profit taxation rules all play a role. Their findings offer some valuable insights for policymakers looking to curb international income shifting.
That's right. Let's dive in and see what this research uncovered. The paper starts by explaining the basic problem. Multinational enterprises shifting profits from high-tax to low-tax jurisdictions through manipulated transfer prices. This erodes the tax base of countries and has become a major concern for tax authorities worldwide.
The researchers note that governments try to address this in a few key ways. First, they require companies to use the arm's length principle when setting transfer prices, meaning the prices should reflect what independent parties would charge in similar transactions. And second, countries can tax the foreign profits of their resident multinational firms through rules like controlled foreign company, CFC, regulations.
The researchers developed a model to analyze how these anti-shifting mechanisms impact a multinational's optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation. A key part of their approach was separating the probability of tax penalties into two components: an endogenous one related to the firm's pricing decisions, and an exogenous one related to the government's tax enforcement efforts.
That's a really interesting distinction. The endogenous probability reflects how the firm's transfer pricing choices affect the likelihood of being penalized, while the exogenous probability captures the government's ability to detect and punish mispricing. Modeling these separately allows the researchers to tease apart the different influences.
Exactly. And the way they specified the endogenous probability component is quite clever. They tied it to the concept of the arm's length range, the accepted range of market prices that would be considered appropriate under the arm's length principle.
That makes a lot of sense. If the company sets the transfer price within this range, the probability of penalties is lower. But the wider the range, the more room the firm has to manipulate prices without crossing the line. Very insightful.
Right. The analysis shows that stricter tax enforcement, through higher penalty rates and greater audit probabilities, reduces the firm's optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation. But interestingly, the breadth of the arm's length range also plays a big role.
That's a fascinating finding. So even if a government is diligently enforcing the rules, if the arm's length range is very wide or difficult to define, that gives multinationals more leeway to shift profits without triggering penalties. The researchers really highlight how important it is for policymakers to address both the enforcement side and the practical application of the arm's length principle.
Absolutely. And the paper goes on to analyze the impact of different foreign profit taxation rules as well. They look at things like the proportional tax credit rule, the limited tax credit rule, and the foreign tax deduction rule.
The key insight there is that if countries allow firms to defer repatriating foreign profits, it can undermine the effectiveness of these rules in curbing income shifting. The researchers found that the limited tax credit rule, which is widely adopted, tends to be the least efficient at discouraging transfer pricing manipulation.
That's a really important point. Even if a country tries to tax its multinationals on their foreign profits, as long as there are ways for firms to manage the repatriation of those profits, the incentive to shift income remains. The researchers suggest the proportional tax credit rule may be a more effective alternative.
It's a complex issue for sure, but this paper does an excellent job of unpacking the different factors at play. By modeling the firm's decision-making process so carefully, the researchers were able to generate some valuable policy implications.
Definitely. And I think one of the most interesting takeaways is just how crucial the practical application of the arm's length principle is. Even with strong enforcement, if there's a lot of ambiguity around what counts as an acceptable transfer price, multinational firms can still find ways to game the system.
Absolutely. This research highlights the need for policymakers to not just focus on the rules, but also on improving the tools and methods used to determine arm's length prices. It's a nuanced challenge, but one that's critical to address if countries want to effectively curb international tax avoidance.
Well said. This was a really thought-provoking discussion, Jen. I'm sure our listeners have a much deeper understanding now of the complex dynamics involved in transfer pricing manipulation and the efforts to counteract it.
Definitely. It's a great example of how rigorous academic research can shed light on important real-world issues. I'm really glad we had the chance to dive into this paper and share its key insights. There's a lot here for policymakers and business leaders to consider.
Agreed. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Be sure to subscribe to Inquiring Minds to catch our next episode.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, keep inquiring. Outro music.
Intro jingle. Are you a multinational corporation struggling to shift profits and dodge those pesky taxes? Well, have we got the service for you? Introducing Shifty Finances, your one-stop shop for all your international tax avoidance needs.
That's right, with our team of creative accountants and shady lawyers, we'll help you navigate the complex web of transfer pricing regulations and find those perfect loopholes. Need to hide your profits in an offshore shell company? No problem. Want to exploit the arm's length principle to the extreme? You betcha.
And the best part? Our patented undetectable pricing algorithm guarantees you'll stay one step ahead of those tax authorities. You'll be cooking the books so good, they'll think you're a Michelin star chef.
So don't settle for boring, legal tax planning. Come to Shifty Finances and let us unleash your inner corporate supervillain. Call 1-800-SHADY-AF to get started today.
Shifty Finances. Making the tax man cry. One creative deduction at a time. Outro jingle. Hello and welcome to our podcast, where we investigate cutting-edge research with depth and intrigue. I'm Tom, and joining me today is my co-host, Jen.
Hi there. Today we'll be diving into a fascinating paper that explores the application of dynamic mode decomposition, or DMD, to financial trading strategies. The paper is titled Dynamic Mode Decomposition for Financial Trading Strategies and is authored by Jordan Mann and J. Nathan Coutts.
This research is really exciting because it shows how advanced mathematical techniques from the field of nonlinear dynamical systems can be applied to the complex, data-driven world of financial markets. The key idea is to use DMD to extract coherent structures and patterns from market data, and then leverage those insights to inform profitable trading decisions.
Exactly. DMD is an emerging data analysis tool that allows researchers to characterize complex dynamical systems in an equation-free manner. Rather than relying on predefined mathematical models, DMD can directly learn the underlying dynamics from the data itself. This makes it a powerful approach for understanding the often unpredictable behavior of financial markets.
To give some background, the authors view the stock market as a complex, non-stationary dynamical system that exhibits multi-scale phenomena. Traditional modeling approaches often struggle to capture this complexity, but DMD offers a novel solution.
The basic idea behind DMD is to decompose market data, such as a portfolio of stock prices, into a set of dynamic modes. Each mode has an associated eigenvalue that determines its temporal behavior, whether it's growing, decaying, or oscillating. By identifying the most influential modes, the researchers can then use this information to make short-term predictions about future market movements.
That's fascinating. Can you walk us through how the DMD algorithm actually works in practice?
Absolutely. The key steps are, 1. Collect market data over a specified sampling window, arranging the data into a matrix. 2. Compute the singular value decomposition, SVD, of this data matrix to identify the dominant low-rank structures. 3. Use the SVD to approximate the Koopman operator, a linear operator that represents the underlying nonlinear dynamics. 4. Extract the eigenvalues and eigenvectors of this Koopman operator approximation, which correspond to the dynamic modes and their associated temporal behavior. 5. Project the initial market conditions onto these DMD modes to determine their relative contributions. 6. Use the DMD mode decomposition and eigenvalues to predict the future evolution of the market over a specified prediction window.
I see. So by decomposing the market data into these dynamic modes, the researchers are essentially identifying the key drivers of the market's behavior. And then they can leverage that information to make profitable trading decisions.
Exactly. The real power of DMD is that it can identify transient, evanescent signals in the data that may be difficult to detect using other techniques. By spotting these fleeting market patterns, the trading algorithm can potentially capitalize on short-term opportunities.
That makes a lot of sense. Can you give us a concrete example of how the researchers applied DMD to develop a successful trading strategy?
Sure. Let's look at one of the case studies from the paper. The authors focused on the biotech and healthcare sector, using a portfolio of 17 companies over an 18-day trading window. When they performed the DMD decomposition, they found that the data was dominated by just a few key modes. The first mode represented the average background price movement of the stocks, while the next few modes captured more dynamic, time-varying structures. By analyzing the eigenvalues associated with these modes, the researchers could identify which ones were growing versus decaying. The modes with positive real parts of the eigenvalues represented buying opportunities, as they indicated stocks that were likely to increase in value.
That's really interesting. So the DMD analysis essentially allowed them to pinpoint the stocks and time periods that were primed for growth. How did they then translate that into a trading strategy?
The researchers developed a training algorithm to systematically explore different combinations of sampling windows, how much historical data to use, and prediction windows, how far into the future to forecast. They found certain hot spots where the DMD predictions were extremely accurate, achieving success rates over 50%. Armed with these high-performing hotspots, they then implemented a trading algorithm that would automatically enter long or short positions on the portfolio of stocks based on the DMD forecasts. By capitalizing on these targeted trading opportunities, they were able to significantly outperform both the S&P 500 benchmark and a simple buy and hold strategy.
That's really impressive. The ability to adaptively optimize the sampling and prediction windows, and then translate those insights directly into a profitable trading strategy, is a testament to the power of this DMD approach.
Absolutely. One of the key innovations here is the way the researchers integrated machine learning techniques to continually refine the DMD algorithm. As market conditions change over time, the trading strategy automatically adjusts the sampling and prediction windows to maintain the highest possible accuracy.
That adaptability is crucial. Financial markets are notoriously volatile and unpredictable, so having a tool that can dynamically adapt to those shifting conditions is a major advantage.
Exactly. The authors also highlight how DMD can be further enhanced by incorporating techniques like compressive sampling, input-output modeling, and dimensionality reduction. These advances could unlock even more powerful trading strategies by better capturing the underlying structure of the market dynamics.
This is really fascinating work. By blending sophisticated mathematical analysis with practical financial applications, the researchers have demonstrated the value of rigorous, data-driven approaches to investing. It's a great example of how cutting-edge science can have real-world impact.
I agree, Tom. This paper shows the immense potential of dynamic mode decomposition beyond its origins in fluid dynamics. The ability to extract coherent patterns from complex, non-stationary data opens up all sorts of possibilities, not just in finance, but across many domains. It's an exciting frontier in data science and computational modeling.
Definitely. I'm really impressed by how the authors were able to take a relatively abstract mathematical technique and translate it into a tangible, profitable trading strategy. It's a great illustration of the power of interdisciplinary research and innovative thinking.
Absolutely. This paper is a prime example of why we do this podcast, to shine a light on the fascinating discoveries happening at the forefront of research. DMD for financial trading strategies is a captivating blend of cutting-edge math, complex systems theory, and real-world impact. I'm excited to see what other applications of this technique might emerge in the future.
Me too, Jen. This has been a fascinating deep dive into an innovative piece of research. I'm sure our listeners have gained a new appreciation for the depth and creativity of modern data science. Thanks for joining me today. This was a pleasure, as always.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a joy exploring this research with you. Until next time, listeners, keep exploring the frontiers of science with us. Tom and Jen, goodbye.
Upbeat jingle plays. Are you tired of the same old stock trading strategies? Struggling to beat the market and make consistent profits?
Well, step aside, traditional investors. Introducing DMD Capital, the trading firm that's turning the financial world upside down with the power of dynamic mode decomposition.
That's right, folks. Our team of math wizards and data ninjas have cracked the code of the stock market using cutting-edge nonlinear dynamical systems analysis.
With DMD Capital, you don't need a crystal ball or a degree in finance. We let the numbers do the talking, extracting coherent patterns and transient signals that other firms can't even see.
Just tell us your investment goals, and our adaptive trading algorithms will do the rest. Long-term growth? Short-term gains? Hedging against volatility? DMD Capital has a strategy tailored for every type of investor.
And the best part? Our trades are powered by quantum computers and AI assistants, so you never have to lift a finger. Just sit back, relax, and watch those profits roll in.
So what are you waiting for? Join the DMD Capital revolution and start beating the market today. Call 1-800-EIGENMODES to open your account.
DMD Capital, the future of finance is now. Jingle intensifies, then fades out.